John Walden, Colorado Springs. Welcome to our Bible study class. We're in Revelation chapter 17 today. There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now, some strange symbols in the book of Revelation. We've already noticed that God teaches us the lessons that he wants us to know in the book of Revelation by means of symbols. These symbols are either explained where they're given, or else we turn to the rest of the Word of God for the explanation. We must never interpret them just out of our own imagination. Note further that the book of the Revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ, not just a revelation of happenings, not just prophecies of the future, but he is revealing to us the Lord Jesus in his character as the coming judge and righteous king. Now he shows us a person whom he calls a great whore. We hardly even use the word. Who would he call by a name like this? In the Bible, a woman is often used as a picture of the church. In the Song of Solomon, again in the 5th chapter of the Revelation, the 5th chapter of Ephesians, and here in the 19th chapter of the Revelation, we're introduced to the Bride of the Lamb. Now the church, composed of all believers from the day of Pentecost on until the return of Christ, is called the Bride of Christ. Satan has imitated everything that God has ever devised. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit comprise the true Trinity, the Holy Trinity. Satan, the beast, and the false prophet comprise the false Trinity here in the book of Revelation. God has a true church composed of all true believers. The devil has a false church composed of those who profess but are not true believers. Now, this is very serious. Each of us needs to find out for himself where he stands. We need to make sure that we are true believers in the Lord Jesus. The first six verses of the 17th chapter of the Revelation gives us the vision. We have begun to read it. Let's look at verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast. This beast is the same beast we had in chapter 13, and stands for the United States of Europe and its political head, the revived Roman Empire, which will be in control again when the Lord Jesus comes and takes his people home. Full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornications. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration, or wonderment or amazement, as the Revised Version says. The angel said to me, Wherefore dost thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. Then he goes on to tell us that this beast originates out of the bottomless pit. That is, this thing is hellish in its origin. God will have his king, the Lord Jesus, sit upon the throne, reigning over his kingdom in the coming day. Until that time, man has his day under Satan's domination. And the result is what you have in chapter 17 and 18 of the book of the Revelation. Babylon. Now, any student of prophecy would immediately think about the 10th chapter of Genesis, where the original Babylon was founded by Nimrod, who was a rebel. They called the place Bab-El, which means the gate of God. But God confused their language because of their rebellion against him, and he called it Babel, which means confusion. And this was the founding of Babylon. According to ancient history, all idolatry originated in Babylon. Nimrod founded the city. His wife was Semiramis. Her son was Tammuz, whom she claimed was miraculously born. And she instituted the worship of mother and child, which has been carried by false religions on to this day. All of the marks of a false church are given here in this chapter. We're told that she makes an alliance with the political powers and controls the political powers. We're told also that she is very rich in worldly goods, that she is filled with idolatry, that she is actually against Christ in verse 14, and that she controls the people in verse 15. These are the marks of a false church. The political beast here, which is the power and of the coming day under the Antichrist, the beast and the false prophet, has a satanic origin, is the last of a succession of rulers, that is, it's the revived Roman Empire. Its locality is the Seven Hill City, in verse 9. Anyone knows that is Rome. In the last verse of our chapter, it says, "The woman which thou sawest is that great city, which reigneth over the kings of the earth." Just as the true church is looked upon as a city in chapter 21, so the false church is looked upon as a city, and it is a very great city. They've made some, they've had tremendous power, but their destruction is imminent and assured. Now, why is God going to destroy all of this? Well, of course, he's going to do it in order that he might found the true kingdom. He's going to take away this false city in order that he might bring in the right city. He's going to obliterate the false church in order that the true church might reign with the Lord Jesus forever. Now, my friends, I want to make this thing practical. I want to get it down where we live. You and I, most of us at least, are religiously inclined. This does not mean that we are all Christians. A Christian is one who has personally received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, who has been born again, according to the third chapter of John. As many as received him, John 1 and 12 says, to them gave he the right to become the children of God. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, we're told, by one Spirit are we, believers, all baptized into one body. Now suppose that you happen to find yourself in something which very closely resembles what we've just been reading about, this false church. What are you to do? And notice that Babylon the Great is called the mother of harlots, so she must have some daughters. The great world religion today, and if you want to pursue this further, get a book called Two Babylons by Hyslop, H-Y-S-L-O-P, Two Babylons. This compares the old Babylon of the Old Testament with religious Babylon of our day, and you'll find that all of the things which are practiced originated in ancient Babylon, not in the Bible at all. What am I to do to make sure that I belong to the true church? Well, first of all, we read in this chapter that those who are safe are those whose names are in the book of life. This is in verse 8. Whose names were not written in the book of life, these are carried away with this false teaching. So be sure that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. How can I be sure of this? Well, he writes in that book, everyone who puts his trust in him. Are you cleansed by the blood of the Lamb? Are you trusting in the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? Then your safety is assured. Notice that these people are called saints and martyrs in verse 6. And this wicked woman, this false church, is drunken with the blood of the saints and the martyrs. And it has always been so. The greatest persecutions have been from religious sources. We who believe the Bible have reason to protest, and we ought never to be sorry about it. The great ecumenical movement of today is demon-inspired. I believe this with all my heart, and we as Christians ought to stay as far away from it as we can. God is going to destroy false religion. Why should we want to be associated with it? In fact, he tells us in the 51st chapter of Jeremiah that we ought to forsake her. And in the 18th chapter of this book of the Revelation, verse 4, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. If you have really trusted Christ as your Savior, and you love the name of the Lord Jesus, don't be associated with any of the great world religions. God is going to destroy the whole thing because it is a denial of His Son. The test of any belief is what do they say about Christ? What think ye of Christ is the test to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of Him. If you haven't received Christ as your Savior, by all means do so right away. The end time is coming. God is going to judge all that is false, and He's going to exalt His Son, and only those who belong to Him are going to share in that wonderful coming kingdom. Our Father, we ask You to bless Thy word to us. We thank Thee for the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee that He suffered and died for us to redeem us. We ask Thy blessing on Thy word now. We ask Thee to help Thy dear children to be separate from all of this evil world. In His name, amen.